So if somebody wants to turn to those final two passages on the civil government topic, Matthew 22:21 and Daniel 2:17-18, I'll go ahead and read that paragraph just in way of review, and we'll go from there. So it says, "This we believe of civil government. We believe the civil government is of divine appointment for the interest and good order of human society. All officials are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored and obeyed, except in things in direct opposition to the will of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord of the conscience and the coming prince of the kings of the earth." Who has Matthew 22? Miss Nancy?
It's 21. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.
Amen. So we have, just going over the authority structure, we have a government that we're supposed to honor and obey the laws, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but we also, above that, we have God that we are subject to first and foremost. So that's always good to keep in mind. We went over that quite a bit last week. Any other comments on that verse? I think it's kind of interesting that we went over civil government right before the election on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Kind of funny how that all worked out. Not the election, that wasn't funny at all, but just the fact that we went over it. Luke?
Yeah, it's just, he asked for the superscription, like, to show him, like, what image was on that money. And they showed him in the Caesars, he was like, well, give to Caesar what he has his image on.
Mm-hmm.
But give to God, basically, what he has his image on.
Right.
And that's even.
Yeah, that's, we're made in the image of God. That's a good way of looking at that. Any other thoughts? Everybody hear what Luke's feedback was? All right. Well, we'll go ahead and who has Daniel, what was it, 2:17-18? Candy?
Then Daniel went to his house and made
the
thing known to Ananias.
Hananiah.
Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning his secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon.
Good job. Daniel's definitely somebody that had some troubles with the government, but he held himself up as a godly man throughout the process and never wavered from what God had him to do. So that's a good character to think of when you think of people that, well, there's several in the Bible that obeyed God rather than the government, and Daniel's a good example of that. He was rewarded. The lion's den didn't have any effect on him because God was with him. Any other thoughts on that? All right. I think we had a pretty long discussion on civil government, so I figured finishing it up wouldn't take long. You're kind of bobbing your head back there. As you...
Oh, I was just...
Okay. Just making sure you didn't have a thought before I moved on to...
I always had too much to say, so...
All right, so with that, we'll conclude what we believe of the civil government. I think that was a good topic. Luke?
Do you want to know what I was thinking?
Well, I'm okay. It sounded like you didn't want to share it, so I wasn't going to force it out of you.
Maybe it makes sense that...
Well, now you've kind of teased us. You got to...
Yeah, now you got to tell us.
So since I've been saved, I've been a member of two churches. The church I came from. Before this, I actually have mentioned what I learned there. It was a very good way of remembering. pastor there preached through Daniel, and he came up with a rhyming phrase for each chapter. So Daniel 1, wait a ton. Daniel 2, Daniel noon. So if you don't know, Daniel 1, wait a ton. Daniel ate only vegetables, and he was just as plump and fat as everybody else. So Daniel 2, Daniel noon. Nebuchadnezzar, you don't have the dream. And Daniel was the only one that knew. Daniel 3, charcoal free. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 4, flees galore. Nebuchadnezzar's driven out into the wilderness and lives like an animal. Daniel 5, Babylon died. Daniel 6, lion licks. Actually, let's say Daniel 2.
Yeah.
When somebody read that verse, what did it say? I thought it said that he prayed.
No, it just said, I'm still turning there. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon.
Sometimes you hear the verse reference and you think you know exactly what is going to be said, but I think the verses don't necessarily line up. Our statement of faith, I think we're finding that they don't exactly line up. I thought it would be, you know, Daniel 6, you know, the phrase he came up with was lion licks. So, basically, instead of the lions eating Daniel, they licked him.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember when he taught that, he basically said, what happened when Daniel went back into the lions and he started winning? What happened when, you know, basically Jesus showed up? Like, it went back to the Garden of Eden. Basically, like that's whenever God shows up, the animals and all that, they behave like they were in the Garden of Eden.
Mm.
And so instead of, you know, the lion eating him, he said Daniel was more like, oh, Simba.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to kind of outline Daniel.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Apply to other books and chapters in the Bible as well, but
mm-hmm.
No, I think that's probably what this is. If I were to guess, it's probably a wrong reference there too, and it's probably meaning to reference Daniel 6, where basically they gave a decree that everybody had to like bow down and or pray. You know, it could have been that, or it could have been Daniel 3, where the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had mm-hmm. Basically everybody was supposed to bow down to the golden idol of Nebuchadnezzar, and they didn't do it. They didn't obey.
Yeah, when it said turn to Daniel, that's where I assumed it was going. But
we're finding a lot of the chapters either in here don't exist, or if they do exist, they're the wrong chapters.
Yeah, it's definitely have to do something.
We're going through it, huh?
Definitely gonna have to edit it a little bit for at least those things. So that concludes what we believe of civil government. I think it's very timely, something to pray about. Like I mentioned, the elections on Tuesday did not go very well in a lot of areas, so we just need to continue to pray for our country. It needs a lot of help, a lot of prayer. Like we mentioned last week, we need godly men to step up and get involved, and as long as God's behind them, it's not just them wanting to do something. So we'll go to number 15 now, this we believe of the resurrection of the dead, personal, visible return of Christ and related events. If you guys want to go ahead and turn to those chapters, I'll read the short paragraph here. We believe in the bodily resurrection, the high priesthood, the visible second coming, the resurrection of the righteous dead, the rapture of the saints, the throne of David, and the millennial reign. Who has Matthew 28? Brother Antoine?
He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you.
Amen.
Amen.
Again, I think that's a wrong reference.
Well, it's a, it it says in the verse there, we believe in the bodily resurrection. Or not in the verse, but the paragraph. So I think it's going.
Never mind. Yeah. I was thinking more about the return of Christ.
Yeah.
Of course, if he didn't rise from the dead, he's not going to return.
Right. So, I'm thankful and excited that we do serve a Savior who did rise from the dead, showing and evidencing his power to us that not even the grave could hold him. And so, I'm very, very thankful for that. We wouldn't have any reason to be here right now if he was just like any other so-called God that goes in the grave and at that point nothing matters, you know, there's nothing to them. You can go to Buddha's grave, you can go to Muhammad, they're still there, but there's one big G God who's no longer in the grave. So that's a great thing about the God we serve. And even beyond that, he said he was going to do it and followed through. So any other thoughts on that passage? Candy's saying no. Are you just wanting to move through this? All right. You guys awake today?
I know. Yes. Lord got me up and out of bed.
Yeah, it's I was fine until I stepped outside. All right, well, if there's no thoughts on that, we'll turn to who has Luke 24, 2 through 6. Candy?
And they found the stone rolled away from the
sepulchre.
And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee.
Amen. Just as it said in that last verse, remember how he spake to you when he was in Galilee. He told him he was going to do it, and then they were still surprised. Yeah. I wonder what it would have been like to be one of Jesus' disciples when they saw him again. Yeah. Maybe not Thomas, but you know, just the excitement to see their Lord and who they had walked with for all that time. And there's definitely a closeness and a relationship there. And so that would have been an awesome time to live in,
yeah.
Is to see Jesus physically resurrected. But we get to see him one day in heaven, so that's exciting.
I can't imagine going there and seeing those shining... Let's see, two men stood by them in shining garments.
Yeah.
That scared you to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they shining?
Yeah, you'd be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then the angels just turned it back to God's word. And remember, he told you this was going to happen. Kind of think back on that.
They were confused. I can imagine their confusion. What is going on? Because they didn't go back to what Jesus, they didn't remember what he said.
Yeah.
Or if they did, they didn't believe what they were seeing.
Yeah, and it wasn't like everyday people were raising from the dead.
Right.
So, any other thoughts on that? Luke?
I mean, just at that point, it's kind of, may seem like not exactly related, but I heard something before which I thought, it is pretty accurate that when atheists and things like that scoff at the resurrection and things, it's kind of like we have a reason to believe that we can do science and actually trust our results. you have an orderly God who has put a constancy in nature, which gives us reason to expect that the future will, for the most part, be like the past. But if we didn't believe that, then people should be popping up from the dead all the time. Mm-hmm. We should be like walking, and then like all of a sudden, you just start floating off like a balloon. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you know, that happens all the time. You know, it's like, everything's random. We don't have any confidence on things that are going to be uniform. You know, but that's why, in a sense, like when we see miracles like this, and this is the miracle basically of almost of all miracles, it's like, that's why it's like, wow, this is awesome. This is God working. This isn't normally how God allows things to happen. This is a special circumstance. It's life-changing, and as some would say, it changed our calendars.
Yeah.
You know, B.C. and A.D.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I love to bring that up to atheists, how our whole calendar is designed around somebody. Some atheists don't even believe that Jesus existed, but our whole calendar is based around him.
And AD is Latin for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Mm-hmm.
And scientists, a lot of times, because there's so many atheistic ones, that they miss the mark a lot. You know, without God, there is no science. You can't dive into a subject without knowing the author or where it came from. So that's how you end up with people saying the world is 5 billion years old, which is so far off, because they're losing track of where it actually started from. They refuse to believe that there's a God, and that the Bible tells us how the world is formed. You don't have to go into this whole scientific explanation, and it doesn't even make any sense.
So if you're doing so-called science and you're trying to figure out an answer to a question, and before you even start testing, you rule out one of the answers, that's not science.
Yeah, or you rule out the actual source and you try to find your own to make sense.
Find any answer except this one. It's like, you're not doing science. You're just trying to find proofs for your religion.
Yeah, my mind always goes to that verse, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Luke?
Along with that, I saw a debate with atheists and deists, and somebody asked the atheist in like question and answer time, what would it take for you to believe in God? And he basically said, well, maybe if I woke up one day and there was like two moons or something, and one of them said, I am God, believe in me, like three big words written on it. And when the theist got up to respond to that, he basically said, there's always something that you can find. If you have a predisposition to disbelieve what God has revealed, and there's always something you're going to find to argue your way out of that. I mean, you probably would call up your favorite physicist friend and say, what's the deal? Why do we have two moons, you know? And he said, well, it turns out our moon was pregnant. We didn't know it, but it was pregnant. He said there was two guards at the tomb that actually saw the resurrection, and we don't hear about them following Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not a quote-unquote evidence problem. It's a heart problem.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, it's crazy how far away people will go to ignore God.
Yes, sure is.
Any other thoughts on that? All right, who has, let's see, where are we at?
Hebrews
8:6, thank you.
About it.
All right, Miss Nancy.
But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Boy, isn't that the truth?
Amen. I'm thankful that he is our mediator.
Yes. Amen.
We don't have to, as it says in another passage, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'm glad we don't have to go to a priest. priest and tell him what we got going on in our lives and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
Through him to God.
Yes.
Luke?
I'll just use a play on words and say, yeah, we don't have to go to a priest. We already have a great high priest.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. We can go to him anytime.
That's the priest we go to. It's the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're not Catholics. Catholics creep me out a little bit. Their rituals, creep out isn't maybe the wrong word. They're just weird. The rituals and stuff. And the funny thing is they'll look at us as Baptists and say we're weird. But we don't have the rosary and the confession booths and stuff like that. And I just think there's a lot more weird. Mass in general is just very weird and odd.
Yeah.
I don't see how they can point the finger and say we're weird. It's just very discomforting when you look at the Catholic Church. It's just
they usually point at Pentecostals and say, Protestants. That's what you get when you leave the authority of the church.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But we pointed them too.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm glad we're not Protestant. I wish people would stop labeling us as that. But, Pentecostals don't do the Christian denomination a lot of favors either. I think there'll be a lot of Pentecostals or Apostolics in heaven. They believe they can lose their salvation. But I think as far as I've talked to some and they're pretty solid on repentance and not through works and stuff like that, but then they kind of fall off the tracks when they start talking about losing salvation, speaking in tongues and stuff like that. So I don't want to say that too much against that, but I think there will be a lot of apostolics and Pentecostals in heaven. They just unfortunately have bad doctrine currently on other things. And we got down a rabbit hole, and Luke's kind of glaring at me.
I don't know about apostolics, but...
Well, I should say Pentecostals on that.
There's a difference between one is Pentecostals, which are basically apostolics, Pentecostals, Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God, I would say, a lot of them I've found. I mean, they don't reject the triune nature of God. They don't reject the true God, so... But it is, and they also don't believe in like a works-based salvation.
Yeah.
Oneness. Yeah. Earlier, I was just thinking that probably a better term out of it is strange. They're strange. I had somebody call me weird all the time. I think they were trying to make me upset, and so I looked up the definition of weird, and it's interesting. The first definition on Kennedy, first entry is supernatural. I said, okay, I'll be weird.
Yeah.
Brother, I just got some bad news. If somebody calls you weird, and you're like, I'm going to look up the definition of that. You're weird. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm going to look up the etymology of that word.
I fully admit I'm weird, but, you know, strange, as the Bible says, foreign, strange fire, that's a huge issue. And it is strange fire with Pentecostals because they're claiming this is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that is a huge issue. And basically I guess it necessarily shouldn't surprise us, though it's still sad that Roman Catholics, they've jumped on the bandwagon with Pentecostals, whether they say they have it or not. They see what the Pentecostals are. Just like we've heard before about Roman Catholics, they kind of morph into whatever, you know, is the popular thing at the time just so they can basically win converts to their own religion. So it's pretty much known right now that some of the biggest churches that are growing, like you go in South America, Africa, it's the charismatics. They're just exploding. Mm-hmm. Their numbers are skyrocketing versus other quote-unquote denominations, but Roman Catholics basically, they're introducing CCM in their services, they're accepting speaking in tongues, and all of this stuff. So, yeah, I would say it's basically strange fire. And how that relates to our topic, I feel don't exactly know.
Yeah, I said it was a rabbit trail. Yeah, I mean, the charismatic thing is big here in America, too, and is growing, you know. The revivals and the college campuses we had a couple years ago, a lot of that was just a lot, big CCM concert and stuff like that. And even since the, I don't know if any of you follow Spencer Smith, but some of the stuff that's happened since the Charlie Kirk stuff has really pushed in a charismatic movement in America. So, but yeah, that's, I don't even remember how we got there. Like Luke said, doesn't really happen.
It's because you read Hebrews, and it just, Hebrews does remind you of you know, just the false, you know, type of religion, and you know, you need a priest, you need a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
It did mention that he's the minister of, or he's the mediator of a better covenant.
So, yeah, we went from priest. Or mediated to Catholics to Pentecostals, so we'll get back on track now. Yeah. let's see. So, who has 1 Timothy 2:5? That's what's fun about the Sunday school, so. Antoine?
Yeah, I was going to mention when I was raising my hand up that I've been part of a Pentecostal church before I came here, and with the times that me and John have witnessed the Catholics, hours and hours me and John have been after they tell you they believe in death, burial, resurrection, they believe in grace by God, and not sit in the Pentecostal service, they tell you that they believe the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to like pay attention to the details. Then when I was witnessing with John, and with several Pentecostals, the same thing they love to say is we all part of the same tree, which are different branches.
Yeah.
And I think like modern religion, everybody wants to say grace by faith, but they start to change in the details.
Yeah. And we're not a part of the same tree. Not, you know, we're a different tree, you know. And it's not about... I know a lot of us sat in churches where they get really hung up on denominations and, you know, stuff like that. But we just want to follow the Bible. And if there's something where another church is straying from that, then we just don't want to fellowship with them.
I will say we can tie it in by in this with the resurrection, you know. Jesus is God, and he said that he laid down his life and he took it up again. But he also said that there's this cooperation between he and the Father and the Spirit. Like, obviously the triune God is present everywhere, but it's like, it's by his power he rose again from the dead. And that's very important when we understand our reconciliation with God. God wants to give us a new heart. We can't give ourselves a new heart. Just like we couldn't do a physical surgery on ourselves and do a heart transplant. Like, we have to have God. If we were dead on the ground, who's going to... I mean, would you go to somebody that's like I guess maybe with John Burgess, you know, they said they found him unresponsive and they started working on him, giving him a pulse. How ridiculous it would it be for someone to go up to him and say, hey, John, come on, do CPR on yourself. Like,
yeah.
Like, work on yourself, you know? It's like, that's basically what religion teaches, is like, it's not about the resurrection power of Jesus, it's about your power to resurrect yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Amen. Any other thoughts on that? Alright, who has, oh yeah, Antoine, there we go.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, from God and man, the man Jesus Christ.
Amen. I mean, that we kind of just went over all that, but any other thoughts on that? All right. This is a quick topic. Who has John 1:3? Candy?
All things were made by him, and without him,
Amen. We kind of talked about that too. You know, we got on the subject of science and how they get it very wrong. They try to ignore the very obvious answer, very obvious solution, and come up with their own theories and stuff like that, that really are harder to believe than a God that created this universe. And so John 1:3 says it very plainly that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Pretty straightforward. And I don't get paid the millions of dollars that the scientists do, but I have it figured out better than they do, just following God's word. Any other thoughts on that? Luke?
It's been put other ways, and I definitely don't agree or promote. Can't hold it in that way, but basically, I do like what he said that, you know, at the end of the day, the scientists are basically climbing the mountain to get to the top, to get to the truth, you know. And when they get there, they're going to find the Baptists have been there all along.
I like that. Can't hope in back in the day used to be a solid source, but I don't know what happened to him. But I do enjoy his old creation videos.
That's where I got that from.
Yeah.
I think it used to be said, which is still true, it's like when the scientists get to the top of the mountain, everyone, the Christians have been waiting for them, you know, for time. So that's how I think I originally heard it said.
Yeah, that's true. And we're just, once again, following the Bible. What does the Bible say about creation? Okay, the Bible says that settles it. We don't need to look any further. There's nothing further to be found because God tells us everything we need to know. But,
and on the other hand, it doesn't give us... That's one thing I press with atheists as well, is that your whole scientific structure was built by theists. Modern, you know, scientific movement was started by believers.
Mm-hmm.
They said they believed that the universe was intelligible because God made it. That doesn't excuse us from scientific endeavors and understanding creation. And, I mean, there's actually young earth creationists that have produced some of the most, like Dr. Kavadian, he created the MRI. There's a fellow, his name's Hartnett in Australia, who created, he's like a cosmologist, but he created like the world's most precise clocks. Like there's no clock in the world that's more accurate than his is. So it doesn't, just because we know the answer doesn't, okay, I'm just gonna be lazy and not. God still,
no.
I think what still applies is that God said to exercise dominion over the earth and subdue it. And I think that still applies for us today. And of course, we're not going to know how to do that unless we know about it.
Yeah.
So we're not going to basically subdue something and have it under proper dominion unless you study it and know how it works.
Yeah, I agree. No, it's when we start trying to, when we get prideful in our own eyes and start trying to prove the Bible wrong somehow, like a lot of scientists do. That's when science kind of gets a bad name. But there's nothing wrong with, like Luke said, learning more about things, how things work. Definitely not. Like he said, the Bible, God gives us a order to subdue the earth, have dominion over it. And like you said, it's kind of hard to do that if you don't really know how it works. So, any other thoughts on that? All right, who has... 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Or no, we skipped. No, that's right. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Candy, you've done a couple, Miss Carol.
For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen. That's going to be an exciting day.
Yes, it will be.
I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be you know, you see these different movies and different things on depictions of how that's going to look, but I'm excited for the real thing to see how that plays out, just what the rapture looks like. And we know it's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, but I'm excited to see that day come.
Not going to be like the movies.
No. It's not going to be it's not going to be a big ray of light where you float up slowly and say bye to everybody. it's going to be fun. You know, one thing I've found is that our expectations or our ideas are so much, we undersell what God's able to do.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that the rapture is going to be better than anything we could imagine ourselves.
Yeah.
And so definitely looking forward to that. Any other thoughts on that? Luke?
It says, I believe he's going to come from the east. It says his light shines from the east even unto the west. I was actually provoked recently. I'm thankful, because of the praise of the Lord, that I have a place in my house where I study, and I used to study, but I've basically set that all back up. And so it's basically like my little study room where I seek the Lord and everything like that, I have devotions. But my table was back, or my desk was basically under a window that was facing north. And I thought, I want to face east. It is pretty interesting to be facing the direction the sun comes up. I know the other day it was like it was blinding me. It was like, man, when Jesus comes back, he's going to be brighter than the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely something we should look forward to.
Amen. Need to be ready.
Yes.
Any other thoughts on that? All right. We might have time for one more of these. Hebrews 9:28. Who has that? Brother Antoine?
So Christ is once offered to bear the sins of men, and unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen.
That's an exciting promise.
Amen. Yes, it is.
You know, a lot, as we're going through this, this might be something like, well, we already know this. This is, you know, basic stuff. But it's still, if you ever lose the excitement or the just the reality of how great our God is and what he's done for us, then that's a place where we need some revival. And I love that verse. It says, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. No sin sounds like a great, great idea to me. Not having to deal with the flesh, not having to deal with sin anymore. That'll be, just that alone. If Christ didn't offer us heaven, didn't offer us eternal life or anything else, just offering us no sin, that alone is just quite the offer. Luke.
Speaking of that, I remember, you know, before revival comes repentance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing a testimony of a revival that happened, and there was great repentance that was brought amongst the people as well. But one minister heard a young man praying, and it actually kind of smote his heart too. And he said, God, please forgive me. I was looking at some verses in India, but 2 Timothy 4:8 may be a good one to add to that too. It says, henceforth, this is what this says, 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all men also that love his appearing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That is a convicting thing, you know. We ought to, like I was saying earlier, not take those things for granted. It's easy when these are kind of core or easy doctrines to kind of just get complacent about it, or it just not, you know, when a person's first saved, they're super excited and they're just on fire. And then sometimes as a person sits in church for 5, 10, 15 years or longer, just, you know, it just becomes complacent, and we got to get to a place. And I think that's where we've kind of lost our effectiveness as a church, is that it's dead. As Brother Turner said recently, the state of our Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches, is in a bad spot in America. And I think we've become complacent, and among other things, of course, compromising. The list goes on, but we just got to get to a place where, you know, if people see a group of Christians that are excited and zealous about God's work, I think it would be a lot more effective than you know, just come in and sit in a pew on us on Sunday and Wednesday, and it's more like a social club than anything else. I think that's something that God desires for us, is to be zealous, to be excited, to be just all about His work. And I think the world, especially nowadays, they're looking for that. So we're out of time, but any other quick thoughts on that? Kyle?
Kind of like you were talking about earlier, I think the reason why in other parts of the world, even here, charismatic movement is blowing up, and whether it's fake or not, or demons or whatever, they're seeing something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not just going to church service and listening to liturgy and then leaving and then it's just dead. Like I said, even if it's fake or drummed up, they're seeing something happen. They're seeing something exciting, and it looks like God. It looks like religion on the outside, at least. And there's no reason why we couldn't be excited about getting God's word out and doing stuff like that. And there should be excitement about the true work of God and not just, you know, flopping on the floor.
Yeah.
We were out getting the cupcakes for Vivi's birthday party the other day, and we saw Emily and a bunch of other people from the church over there. They had just got done giving out Bibles and stuff, and they were trying to figure out what they're going to do next because they ran out of Bibles. And that's, you know, stuff like that. It's encouraging.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Luke, quickly.
Yeah, I know we're out of time. When I was in Africa, I saw a fellow on the street, and the taxi driver actually helped me find him, but he was preaching the gospel, and that's how I ended up meeting up with him. His name's Grace. But he's charismatic, but I would say in some ways he puts the shame, like what I see with a lot of Christians. I mean, he'll tell me many times, I'm going to the church tonight to pray all night. You know, can I pray for you? Like, you know, he'll, at times of fasting, in some sense, yes, we do understand somebody. As one person said before, it's a lot better to have it and not know what to call it than to know what to call it and not have it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think we would all agree in this room that we aim and strive to follow the Bible and God as close to a T as possible. You know, there's things we don't fully understand, but if that's the case, we should be the most joyful, zealous, and fired up group of Christians.
Right.
And it is sad that we are a lot of times put to shame by charismatics or somebody else. So
yeah,
we just need to pray that God would just stir us up and give us, like, you know, it was mentioned last week when we were talking about government. If we were as zealous, and I know I keep using that word, but if we were just as excited and bound and determined as people are who are opposite to us, you know, the wicked and just sinners, if we were as bound and determined as they are to get our agenda through, which is God's agenda, seeing people saved, how different would the world look?
Right.
We see in history, Luke has taught us and showed us different revivals that's happened across the world, and nothing's changed. God still wants to see souls saved. He still wants to work. He's just looking for a group of people that's excited about it and willing. So we're out of time. We've been out of time, but we'll go ahead and end there, and we'll see what God has for us the rest of the day. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time we have in Sunday school, Lord. Just thank you for each week, Lord. Just seems like it gets better and better, just the discussions and just the iron sharpening iron, Lord, and Sunday school class. Just really enjoy going through our statement of faith, Lord, and just as a reminder of what we believe, Lord, and it's all grounded in your word and what you've given to us, Lord, and we're just thankful that you didn't just leave us on this earth to our own devices, Lord, and that you've given us your word and your plan of salvation, Lord, and even after that, Lord, just how to live a peaceable, godly life, holy life afterwards, Lord, and just become more and more like you. And I just pray that each of us in this room would just continue to draw nigh unto you, Lord, so you would draw nigh to us, and help us to be zealous and just excited and fired up about your word and what you've done for us, so that way the world, when they look at our church and the members of our church, Lord, that they see that God's working here and that they want to be a part of that, Lord. Just help us to have a testimony and just a life that points others to you, Lord. And just do a work in our service today, Lord. And we love you. We thank you. We need you. Just preach through Luke, Lord. Just hide him behind the cross and just give him everything. Or give us everything you'd have for us, Lord. And just give us a good service today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.